You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, April 13th, 2011. This is episode 179, April Showers, Bible Teacher Resources. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology and its impact, potential impact, on the ministry of the church. Thanks, everybody, for joining us once again. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye. Good morning, Sally. How are you?
Well, I'm great, Martin. How are you this great springtime morning?
I cannot complain. The sun is shining. Looks like spring might be on the way. Over this past weekend, we had 80 degrees. Now it's not 80 degrees, but that was a hopeful sign.
A little teaser for you.
A little teaser. Yeah, been keeping yourself busy?
Busy is an understatement around Sleepy Eye these days.
Is that right? Things are hopping.
Very busy weekend at St. John's and Sleepy Eye. We hosted the LWMS rally for our circuit on Saturday. We live streamed it and actually had missionaries Mike Hartman and Nathan Wagen connect and their families joining in the live stream as someone presented on our Mexico mission work. So that was just a really cool connection.
Cool, yeah.
There.
Cool.
Yeah. And then on Sunday night, we actually hosted the Area Lutheran Chorale concert and live streamed that as well. Had about 35 connections to our live stream on that concert. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun. I actually sang in the chorale. We did two concerts on Sunday, one at another location in the afternoon and then one here in Sleepy Eye. So, boy, talk about a busy weekend.
But understatement.
Loads of fun.
Yeah, my weekend was pedestrian by comparison. So.
Well, we try to do it all at once here at Sleepy Eye, just cramming as much as we can.
We went to a John Tesh concert on Saturday night up in Kohler, Wisconsin, and it was a lot of fun. He's obviously got a lot of stage presence, and it was kind of nice because he's obviously a Christian and makes that very apparent, you know, in his concerts as well. They sang a Christian contemporary song amidst all his other hits and theme music and whatever, and just wasn't shy about sharing his faith. And that was kind of fun to see that somebody that high profile doing that in a nice way, not kind of an in your face Jesus freak kind of a way, but certainly just living, you know, living the faith. So it's good. It was a good time.
Sounds like a great way to spend a relaxing Saturday evening.
It was. So
good. And now we got to gear up because what's ahead of us is Palm Sunday and Holy Week, just right around the corner. It seems like it's taken forever to get here, and now we are approaching a busy, busy season.
Right there. And for the podcast, we're continuing a series. We are in April. And everybody knows the expression April Showers. And last week we started with our first segment in our April Showers series, where we showered our listeners with all kinds of resources, especially the webmasters among us. So got some nice feedback on that, which we'll share a little bit later in the show, on the appreciation for those resources. And hopefully we'll get similar feedback this week as we talk about Bible study resources, ministry resources specifically related to the study of the Bible, the presentation of those materials, the organization of Bible studies, those kinds of things. And we have no fewer resources in today's show than we had last week.
That's right. We're going to rain down on our listeners again this week, Martin, starting with just great resources for accessing the Bible, just the Bible, straightforward. And you can do that online at uversion.com. And you can also use BibleGateway.com. Two great websites for easily searching the Bible and bringing up different versions of the Bible and all kinds of things around just plain old Bible reading.
Yeah, and most of these tools, YouVersion included, which is the one that I use regularly every day, has a lot of add-in features like daily Bible readings. You have different kinds of reading plans. You can, like you said, select different versions. You can actually take notes and read other people's notes. There are sometimes commentaries attached. We have in, Debbie and I have been reading through the Daily Bible, which has been one of our congregation's programs where we bought a bunch of Daily Bibles, which go NIV 1984 version Bibles that take you through the entire Bible in 365 readings. And what we've been doing is she reads out of the book, the Bible that we bought, you know, through the church program, and I read out of off my iPad with my U version, but she reads the 84 version, I read the 2010 version. And it's been really insightful as we read through it, because she reads a chapter, I read a chapter, we go back and forth, we read it aloud. And just to see some of the differences between the translations, kind of in context. And it's a lot of fun that way. And I couldn't really do that if I didn't have, you know, an electronic version, because I'm not sure if there are any printed versions yet of the 2010 version of the NIV. So that certainly has its advantages.
I use Bible Gateway a lot in our computer lab setting with the students at our school, teaching them how to search the Bible, not just for verses, but for keywords and things like that. So sometimes we have Bible races where I ask them to find how many references there are to the word light or something like that, you know, and come up with creative ways to display that maybe in a video format or on a Glogster page or something like that. So we try to make just getting them comfortable with Bible searching a fun activity. And Bible Gateway has been a real good resource for that for us.
Sure, certainly a blessing in the ability to search the Bible. We all probably remember the days when we had the concordance in the back of the Bible, and that was truly a godsend where you had kind of an inkling of what the passage said, but you didn't know exactly where it was, what the reference was. And now with these online Bibles or electronic Bibles, boy, that's even easier, because you can create advanced searches and you can get right to where you need to go. So a nice blessing there.
Another one worth mentioning in this category is Biblos. It's biblos.com. And again, just another Bible, online Bible with a lot of different versions available and a lot of different resources around that. They have a concordance, a dictionary, commentaries, and things like that available as well. So, and an atlas as well built into their site. So that's another option there for you. And then we would be remiss if we didn't point people to our recent podcast number 165, when we talked about all the different mobile Bible apps. As more and more people are getting smartphones and iPads, you want to have the Bible with you on your mobile device. Then we did a lot of reviews, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 or more different Bible apps that we looked at on that show, and kind of pointed out some of our favorite resources for both the Apple operating system, iOS, as well as Android. So if you're looking for a mobile application of the Bible, you want to check out that podcast.
Yep, we did quite a bit of research there and did some compare and contrast and did a little grading, you know, the available apps out there. This next category of resources, we, you know, kind of fiddled around a little bit to try and find the appropriate name for the category, and I think we finally settled on Bible amplification. I kind of hearken back and think back to those old school Bibles. They called them the illustrated Bibles, you know, very fancy pages and kind of in picture form, helped you kind of visualize what was going on in a particular area of Scripture. And so we've got basically a category full of tools that would essentially bring the Bible to life, whether they be through video, picture, and maps, any kind of tools that potentially a Bible study leader might use to assist the Bible study participants to dig in a little bit deeper and to essentially bring it to life. So that's this section of tools. And the first one is Bible geocoding.
Yep, I'm just bringing up that website now. This is a really cool website, Martin, where they're using the technology of Google Maps, Google Earth, to map every location mentioned in the entire Old Testament and New Testament. And you can actually get to it by book and even by chapter.
That's the cool part. Yeah, you can really buy, you know, as you go through the Bible, you can say, I'm in Colossians 2. What locations can I bring up on Google Maps?
That's right. And you can bring it up online, or you can actually download what they call a KML file, something that will work in a local version of Google Earth. Mm-hmm. So you can do it whether you're connected to the web or not, basically.
Yep.
And it's funny because I'm looking at Colossians 2, and the Google map for that is a neighborhood with some really large fancy houses now where Colossians 2
occurred. Those Colossians, they had the dough.
Yeah.
Still do.
So anyway, really a unique resource to actually see the Bible land that was mentioned, you know, very specifically mapped out. There's another one, BibleMap.org.
Yep.
Similar resource where you can put in a book and chapter and see the Bible text on the screen as well as the locations mapped out for you. I think this one's probably is just a web-based resource that doesn't have the download
right.
like Bible geocoding.
Yeah, it's not connected with as integrated as the first one is with Google stuff. And then there are a bunch of other resources. We obviously don't have time to go through all of them, but one that you're kind of fond of, Sally, the Brick Testament, Lego Bible Pictures.
That's right. Someone actually took the time to create Lego settings of some of the major stories in the Bible. So you can go, again, book by book. Are topical as well. You can bring up complete stories. It may look like just one picture, but when you click into a particular story, there's like a slideshow effect there. And so, you know, I wouldn't just turn kids loose on this without some supervision. Maybe there's some stories that aren't necessarily depicted as kid-friendly as we'd like them to be or whatever. But in general, I think this is something that you could preview as a Bible class teacher and be able to share particular stories with your class. So it's called the Brick Testament at thebricktestament.com. And they are really creative with their Lego.
Yeah, some rather PG-rated Lego concoctions there.
Yeah. Just a few.
Very
here and
creative,
there,
but, yeah. Well, yes. The Bible is, you know, is real. So
yes. So another one that we talked about not too long ago is this website called 66 Clouds,
yep.
where they made a word cloud of each of the books of the Bible, so you could incorporate this into potentially some presentation or whatever that you're doing, and then you have the ability to order those as a poster and actually get a printout of these word clouds that they've created of the books of the Bible.
Yep, that's so, very very cool. I
very
don't remember
visual.
Whether this was a pick or we certainly brought it up on the show before, but you could actually do this yourself too using the same tool they use, which is Wordle, which we've talked about in the past, where you could input a bunch of text from scripture and create your own word cloud. So that's
actually
very cool.
If you hop over to our podcast number 108, it was called Tech Enabled Religion Class, and we actually have a Wordle on that podcast that we created from I believe the story of Christmas, basically the Luke 2 chapter, and it's really neat to see all those words in a word cloud format.
Yep.
And so that was one of our suggestions on that show, along with the Brick Testament and a lot of other resources you might find useful there. Things like playing maybe Bible Jeopardy, creating your own Jeopardy game at JeopardyLabs.com, and other things there on that podcast as well.
Yep. And another resource that we've talked about many times in the past, which is one of our very own on Wells.net, is WhataboutJesus.com. All kinds of Bible study tools there. They've done a fantastic job of bringing all those together in an easy-to-find and easy-to-use format. They've broken things down by question, Jesus who, or questioning God, life concerns. There's a study the Bible section, book by book look, and introduction to worship. Worship helps, all kinds of resources that could be useful for any Bible student.
And we'd probably be remiss if we didn't revisit Wells Tech episode 121. This was from last Easter, Martin. As we were preparing for Easter, we shared a lot of digital Easter goodies, and there's all kinds of things that you could use in a Bible class kind of setting or in worship, special PowerPoint resources or video resources, that kind of thing, listed in that podcast. And then our interview that day was with Pastor Guy Marquardt, who's serving out in Lodi, California, and he has an interactive Passion History website that would be
very
perfect,
timely, yeah,
for this time of year. So perhaps you want to include a link to that even on your Facebook page or on your website to guide people to Pastor Marquardt's interactive Passion History. It's really cool. It's kind of like one of those choose your own adventure stories, mm-hmm. where you read through the Passion and you can either talk to people in the story or choose to ignore them and things like that. You have options that progress you through the Passion story, mm-hmm. and really fun, I think, for really any age level if they're looking to get a little bit better insight into the Passion History this week, yep. or in the coming weeks.
Sally, we should probably jump to the next category, which is reading plans. In fact, we had a whole show on reading plans back in episode 114, whenever that was, and we came up with a number of concepts and a number of challenges. We had the Daily Bible Challenge by our own Adam Gady here in the Synod Administration Building. Is that one that you're participating in, Sally?
That's the one that our family chose to do, the Daily Bible, a chronological Bible.
Right.
It's a particular book that Adam chose, and a group of people are going through that and using his blog to comment back and forth. Mm-hmm. And our family actually adopted that Bible reading, although we haven't stayed up to date with it. We did our readings last night. We're still plugging away, but not quite on, what would this be, April 13th yet. Mm-hmm. But it has been a really good experience for us. It's a little different that it actually is all chronological, so you don't jump around and get a psalm during the day or
right.
anything like that. So we're kind of heavy into the law right now. We're in the Old Testament doing a lot of law reading, but
right.
Very interesting and insightful to do that together as a family.
Yep, and the reading schedule that we're following is the one-year Bible, and that is all online as well. You can obviously buy the book like we did, or you can go online and read online, or you can go through one of the tools that we talked about, like YouVersion, which have those kind of baked in and built in. So all kinds of ways to get that done. One thing that we've also done is there's some embed code that you can use for the one-year Bible and put it on your website. So when your members or visitors come to your website, they can just click on the day's reading and take care of it that way.
Very cool. Lots of electronic ways to do that. We even have a podcast dedicated to just reading plans. And so yep. if you're not keen on the Daily Bible or the one-year Bible, there's a whole bunch of other reading plan options out there. So mm-hmm. check out that podcast for those.
Yep.
I have a link in the show notes.
All right. What's our next category?
Next, we're going to look at Bible study research kind of tools. Like we've spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about Logos versus mm-hmm. Accordance versus Bible Works.
Yep.
Those that are kind of notching it up a level where you're getting into being able to study the original languages and things like that. And certainly our pastors in the listening audience would be familiar with these. We have a load of resources for Logos that we've accumulated over the years, mm-hmm. including things like the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly is
oh, yeah.
available for Logos, and lots of video tutorials. There's iPad applications, just loads of things that you can do with the Logos software. At one point, we even interviewed Pastor Guy Marquardt about Logos, as well as Pastor Steve Bauer about Accordance, and Pastor Dan Witte about Bible Works. So
I think it was Aaron Fry, wasn't it, on Logos?
Yes, you're right. I'm
okay.
sorry.
Probably not that we don't want to give Guy any more props, mm-hmm. because he is a frequent contributor to the show, but let's give Aaron a little
There you go.
A little shout out for his logos work. He is, after all, the ExaTweet.
That's right. He is serious about his logo software. Yeah. So, and another one that we probably haven't spent as much time on is eSword, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. But that one's a free open source Bible study software that's kind of patterned after at least the early days of Logos, the way Logos was developed. So.
That was interesting because I didn't remember us talking about that. And when we were prepping for the show, I looked at that once again, and that looks like a very nice resource. So, and the price is absolutely as absolutely right for that particular product. So
if you don't have a Bible study research kind of software yet, maybe that's a great place for you to start because of the free price tag. So one more worth mentioning here is a link that we'll include in the show notes to Greek, Latin, and Hebrew Bible audio recordings. So if you want to hear the Bible in the original languages, there are audio recordings available at GreekLatinAudio.com. And we'll have links to that in the show notes as well.
Very nice. And then our last category, at least for today's April shower, is online Bible study. And this is a concept that I know a lot of congregations are trying to get going, and some very successfully, is the ability to take your study with other people online. And there are lots of tools that allow you to do that. Some that I've seen work real well are as simple as using a Google Groups kind of a setup where everybody joins the group and it acts like an email list, and you just open up discussions by sending an email and you hit reply and the conversation continues. So this can be a natural extension to a Sunday morning Bible study or midweek Bible study, or it can just be, you know, live on its own, you know, in the cloud, basically.
A similar group concept would be to start a Facebook group. I know recently, Martin, we've spent a lot of time talking about Facebook pages, which are more public representations, potentially of your whole church or school. But you can create these groups and invite people to a private group on Facebook that would integrate with their Facebook experience, but also retain that privacy so that it would be like an invitation-only kind of thing. So lots of potential there for an extension of Bible class discussion groups or whatever.
And you could do the same on those of our listeners who are using Final Web. You know, any kind of discussion board tool, you know, would accomplish something similar. And then we also recently talked about a new tool, a new Facebook-y kind of concept, a social network for churches called Table Project. And that's now, I believe, out of beta and available for use. We've tried it a little bit, and I think it's tableproject.org, if I'm not mistaken. And it does have that kind of group concept, group discussions, prayer lists, those kinds of things, kind of an internal communications and social networking tool for congregations.
And the price tag, again, is
zero.
Free,
yeah.
So we can't argue with that. Lastly, in this category, we heard last week from Pastor Michael Johnson, and he pointed us to a resource he had come across recently from Concordia Publishing House. Mm-hmm. They have a website called Bible Study Builder, and he's just wondering if anybody's seen it or had made use of it. He liked the idea. It basically allows you to do your Bible study online through their tool. It's a login required kind of thing so that it's privatized. And I'm guessing there are fees associated with this tool as well. So might be something that we want to look at or potentially, make use of and check out.
Yep, very good. I think that is going to wrap up our April shower section. Hopefully there was something in there for everybody. If you have resources that we missed and you think we should add to the list, please offer your feedback. Go to wellstech.wells.net and write a comment there or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, and we'd be happy to include that as well. Should we move on to ministry resources, Sally?
I think it's time. And this week, I just wanted to follow up on our last week's ministry resources. We talked last week about a new tool on Facebook called the Question Application, where you could basically poll people on your Facebook page. And we actually put a poll out on our WellsTech Facebook page to try it out. the poll was, what's your favorite part or section of Wells Tech? Let's see, I have a little screenshot. The most useful part of the Wells Tech podcast is what we asked. And we listed six different options: community feedback, ministry resources, picks of the week, discussion, interview, and news in tech. And for the few people that voted in our little poll, we got the biggest response for ministry resources.
Cool.
So I thought that was interesting. People are listening to us and excited about the resources that we share in this segment of the show. What I learned about the question application, which is, it's always good to use something and figure it out a little bit. The one thing that I learned is it does allow you very easily to list as many different options as you want. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I listed six different options for people to choose from, but it seemed that nobody expanded it because only three are displayed. And so nobody really expanded the list to see the full complete list of options because nobody voted on the other three. So that kind of tells me that if you're going to put a question out there, you might want to try to limit it to three responses because those are the only three that are automatically displayed on the page. You have to work a little bit to see the rest of the options. The other thing was that it is a checkbox kind of response system. So people can respond to more than one if they so desire. So if you're looking for real scientific polling where everybody has to pick just one thing, you're not going to get it with the Facebook question app. But a lot of fun to throw a question out there and see what kind of response you get on your Facebook pages.
Yep, just another tool that might be useful. So let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I thought it would be appropriate to keep our picks of the week with the Bible theme. And so my pick of the week is a specific mobile Bible application that I've been making use of. And it's called Bible Plus by a company called Just One Word. And I use this on my iPod Touch. And the thing that I particularly liked about it was the price for their NIV Bible. I could get the 1984 version of the NIV for only $6.99. And some of the other applications, it cost up to $20 to be able to download a local version of the NIV so that I could use it whether I'm connected wirelessly on my iPod Touch or not, you know. And it has proven to be an easy to use application. I bounce around during Bible class to different books of the Bible very quickly and easily. It has a red letter version so that you see the words of Jesus in red, and then it also allows me to easily share via social stream, so I can tweet easily from my Bible software and share those things, Twitter, Facebook, those kind of things that I'm studying. So I've been real happy with the Bible Plus app for my iPod Touch.
Very good. And I'm going to keep with the mobile theme for my pick of the week, and it's a pick we've had in the past, except now a different flavor, so to speak, and that's the Glow Bible, but I'm specifically focused on the Glow Bible for the iPad. There's been some big news coming out of Glow recently that they've updated the entire application and made it available on multiple platforms. So I've been trying out the one for the iPad, and while it doesn't have all of the features that the desktop version has, you get certainly the entire Bible and the different translations that you would want, but you also get a lot of the multimedia. So those are the two areas. You don't have the timeline, which is kind of one of the coolest features on the desktop version, but on the portable version on the iPad, you can go to any verse, you can use the social media tools, you can look up the notes, you can add your own My Notes section is what they call it, and then you have access to most all of the multimedia, the virtual tours, the artwork and the photos, the maps, you know, those kinds of things, which really augment, or as we said before, amplify, amplify the Bible. And makes it come to life a little bit, and it works in conjunction with your account. So if you've made some if you've saved some settings and added some notes, I think they're going to come down onto the mobile version as well, and the iPad version. So it keeps all of those in sync. Just a nice little tool. You have it handy, something that you could take with you to Bible study at church or whatever. Or if you're a Bible study leader, use it at church, connect it to the projector, and use all the wonderful resources that are available, you know, via this tool to add a little bit more, you know, to the Bible study experience. And I think the visuals, the interface is really slick. They've done a nice job, and they've carried that through on the iPad as well.
A couple of comments there, Martin. We didn't specifically mention Bible Glow up in that Bible amplification section of the show, but boy, just the tool in general for your desktop is definitely going to allow you to really expand on and explore the Bible in great detail with all of the amazing multimedia resources that they include with it.
Mm-hmm. And we have some good news about the Glow Bible for potentially for some of our listeners, don't we?
That's right. We were contacted last week and given permission to give away a copy of the Glow Bible. Actually, each one of us is mm-hmm. going to be giving away a free copy of the Glow Bible. If you visited their website recently, you'll notice that with this recent upgrade, there is a Glow Bible Lite, which is available for free. So you can get the NIV version of the Glow Bible to use in their free version, mm-hmm. but their premium version is a $70 piece of software. And so what they've given us permission to do is each one of us will be giving away one copy of that premium version of the software. And we decided that we're going to give those away on our personal blogs, you on martinspriggs.com and me at sallydraper.com. And so we'll have links in the show notes to our personal blogs, and you should be watching there for an announcement about a Bible Glow giveaway on both those blog sites.
Yeah, the information on how to get in the pool for the drawing, which we'll actually do. We actually haven't discussed that, have we, Sally? How we're going to do that.
details.
But I think next week we'll announce the winner. So between now and next week, make sure that you go to either or both of those websites, those blog sites, and we'll let you know a little bit more information about how you too can win a free subscription to the Glow Bible. Well worth the effort.
And I'll just make one more note that the Glow Bible is on multiple platforms now, PC, Mac and
just
iPad.
Came out. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But they also have announcement that they will be on the iPhone soon. And when you get a copy of Glow Premium, it's for up to five different locations or tools. So you can have it on your PC as well as your mobile device mm-hmm. and make use of it in both places. So really exciting thing to allow us to give that away. And it's going to be a lot of fun to do that.
Yep. Sally, probably about time now to remind our listeners of our final web classes.
That's right. We'll have links in the show notes to all the details. Martin, you're presenting in Milwaukee August 1st through 4th, and I'll be doing the same class at Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, June 27th through 30th. And there are actually four distinct days of the class, and you can come to any or all of them in combination. The mm-hmm. price tag is very reasonable, $49 a day, or you can do a three-day section for $129, our Final Web for Dummies class. So check out the links. We have a day dedicated to teachers who are building classroom websites, and we get real focused on the type of content and the tools that you need to have an effective classroom website. And then we have the three-day dummies class, which is kind of Final Web from start to finish. You get the whole shebang, beginning, intermediate, and advanced days there. So come and join us. We'd love to meet you face-to-face in Final Web class this summer.
Very good. Let's move on to community feedback, my favorite section.
Is that what you voted for?
It is.
Oh, cool beans. Okay. This week we heard from several of our listeners, including Brian Priest, who is listening to our I Forgot show, where we talked about memory work tools. And he said, thanks for the talk on memorization tools. It was a trip down memory lane for me. A similar program was one of the first things I wrote on my TI-99A in 1982. Hey, I had a TI-99A as well, mm-hmm. Brian, so very neat connection there. He said he needed it so he could pass his memory work test at Fox Valley Lutheran High School. So good job on your early programming experience.
Right.
There. Next up, on our Facebook page, we had a really interesting comment from Christian Web Resources. This is not something I was familiar with before, Martin, but
me neither.
They found our Wells Tech podcast, and this is what they had to say about our most recent podcast where we did the Shower of Webmaster Resources. It said, it's very encouraging to see a major denomination provide and promote web resources for their congregations. I conducted a survey recently, and it's disappointing how few church organizations support their ministries in this way. One of the most significant points of this podcast could have used a lot more airtime, contemplation. Martin, that was one of your C's. Uh-huh. He says, many church websites fall into one of two categories, started by a techie, so it looks great and has a lot of potential, but lacks ministry support and it withers, or started by a ministry leader, so the technical implementation suffers and never gets off the ground or gets any traction.
Yep.
Both of these situations can be avoided through prayerful contemplation. And he went on to say there are a ton of other resources available, but time constraints definitely play a part on a podcast. Here's a few worth checking out, and gave us links to a lot of different online resources, things like the Geeks and God mm-hmm. podcast and Collide magazine. So we'll throw those links up in the show notes, and we greatly appreciate your feedback from Christian Web Resources.
And we also appreciate you listening to the show. Wonderful. We know that we don't just have a small subset of Wells listeners. We have all kinds of listeners out there, so appreciate that.
Okay, next up, I have to do a really geeky plug, but
no, you've never done that before, so
never.
This would be the first time.
Exercise my co-hosting privileges here, and point people to a cool photo that I came across this morning in my Twitter feed. A friend of mine, Philip Wells, who actually joined us back in December of 2008 on the podcast, episode number 50, way back in the archives. He's actually out in Las Vegas this week at the National Association of Broadcasters convention. And last night had the opportunity to meet Leo Laporte and have his picture taken with Leo Laporte from the TWIT podcast. And so the way I figure it, that puts me 2 degrees away from Leo, good friend Leo. And I just was really proud for Philip that he had that opportunity to meet Leo Laporte.
Whatever that means or whatever that gets you, right?
It's all about me. That's what matters.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the twit.tv podcast, but anybody interested in technology, though, some of those are, they have a whole media network, and some of those podcasts are very helpful. They have one on Google stuff. They have one on Windows stuff. They have one on Mac stuff. They have a whole iPad show.
iPads.
Yeah, a whole iPad show. They just started one, I think, on photography. So, and they do a nice job. It's very professionally done, and there's good information on some of those shows. So,
Leo Laporte is quite the outspoken.
Yeah, he used to be, those of us that remember the days of Tech TV and some of that stuff that used to be on, you know, the regular old television, which is no longer really. You find it all online, and that's what he's basically done with their network there.
Cool stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, next up we had a Digo link shared by somebody named Martin Spriggs.
Yep. And this one was helpful to me. This was something that had confounded me. I would be the first to admit that I am not a Microsoft Word wizard by any stretch. It frustrates me on a regular basis. And one of the things that frustrates me, and I don't know if you've ever run into this, Sally, is for some reason on some days when the stars are all aligned and the moon is in its seventh hour or whatever,
I think you just dated yourself.
I know. That was one of my favorite songs. I won't break into song, though.
Okay.
You're in Word, and all of a sudden you lose vision or the viewing of your top and bottom margins. So you don't see a full page. You just see, the screen jumps immediately to the first word on the page. and you can push the elevator bar up and down, and you can never see anything in the header, the footer, anything like that. And
even though it says you're on page view, which
exactly,
should be the full page.
Exactly, yeah. In my mind, but call me crazy, but yeah, that's what I would think. And apparently there's a reason for that, and there's a whole video about it that Microsoft has made available. This is a site that we've referenced in the past, and let me see, what's the URL here? They have blogs.office.com. So they've got all kinds of good, great resources, and I think I even made this a pick a while back, or we talked about it under resources. And they've got a whole video on why that's the case and how to get it back, more importantly.
Just one simple little icon, but you got to have your mouse in the right place to hide and expand. Yep.
So basically the trick is, you know, put your mouse over the very bottom or the top of the page and click, and it'll bring that header or footer to life, and you can actually see it again. So, problem
good
solved.
Good to know. One of those things that you get as a help desk kind of question that you just really scratch your head.
You could spend
over
a lot of time trying to figure that out. Go through all the options, and boy, what is going on here? So,
sure.
So, thank you for that video.
Lastly, we wanted to point our listeners to a Wells Tech listserv conversation. Our friend Gil Protratz from Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin, asked for recommendations for reading software.
That's right.
She's thinking in a multi-grade classroom setting, maybe the teacher's moved on to teaching the second graders, and the first graders need some extra work on their reading or phonics.
Right.
And several people, including me, shared links to different websites. It seems like the world is kind of moving away from local software to more web-based applications, and there are a lot of good reading websites out there that students can take advantage of. So if you're looking for good reading software, maybe you want to check out Between the Lions or the Clifford Interactive Storybooks that are available online. And we'll have links to that and more in our show notes.
Very good. I don't know about you, Sally, but I've been enjoying this April Showers series. It really helps us kind of take a look back at some of those ministry resources that we've identified over the years now and brought them together in hopefully a usable tool set. So somebody that's interested in just this particular topic can just go to these show notes and pull this stuff out. And it's also adding, you know, I think a little bit of amplification to our wiki page as well.
Absolutely. Wish me luck on typing all this up, but I am very excited to be able to reference it. It just kind of is a great compilation of all the work that we've been talking about, and to see it all pulled together in one place is real exciting.
Yep. And lest anybody thinks that I do anything for this show, Sally is the person who puts all this stuff out there for your viewing pleasure. So
you put all the audio out there, so we appreciate it.
All right. Enough of the mutual admiration stuff. Next week, we're going to continue the April Showers series, and we're going to focus on office workers. Church and school office workers have a tough job, and there are tools that make that a little bit easier, and we've been talking about a few of those over the past few, probably 6 months now. We've been, you know, having a show once in a while that focuses on that. We're going to bring it all together, add a few more resources, and hopefully have a great show notes page for anybody sitting in that church or school office that is just looking for solutions to some difficult situations they have to deal with on a day in and day out basis.
What a pivotal role they play in the work of the church. And
absolutely,
so we definitely want to support them.
They are definitely on the front lines. Sally, let's close the show with the music of Revelation from Wisconsin Lutheran College. Roll the Stone Away, very appropriate for this Lenten/Easter season as we look forward to celebrating that stone being rolled away from their album, We Walk by Faith. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please tune in next week.
Roll the stone away,
roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. You promised you'd rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty, gonna
roll the stone away.
I said,
roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. You promised you'd rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty, gonna
roll the stone away.
Jesus was a man, he's free from sin, you know. Well, he taught us that we reap the very things we sow. He taught us parables of light we see today. Hey, and
on the third day, he rolled the stone away.
I said,
roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. We promise you'd rise, Lord,
on the third day. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. They mocked him and scourged him and said his words were lies. Hey, but Jesus had compassion with pity in his eyes. And I can't wait to see what he has to say.
Oh, how he felt
when he rolled the stone away.
I said, roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. He promised you'd rise, Lord,
on the third day. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. But he's coming back, hey, and that's one thing for sure. Well, he's coming for the righteous, the blameless, and the pure. And I can't wait to see what he has to say.
Oh, how he felt
when he rolled the stone away.
I said, roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. He promised you'd rise, Lord,
on the third day. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away.
I said, roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. He promised you'd rise, Lord,
on the third day. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away.
I said, Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away.